Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Hass of Team Reba, Remax Metro East Side.
And I'm Eric Osnes with Home Street Bank.
Hashtag Eric is bald.
That's right. Where every week, every Tuesday at 3 o'clock, we talk about mortgage, we talk about finance, we talk about real estate, sometimes, or if we ever get around to it.
Yeah, when we're not done bashing on Priuses and other things.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
No Norwegian jokes today.
Well,
please.
I'm going to say Mike Olden with American Reporting is a fellow Norwegian, so you are outnumbered here, my friend.
So outnumbered.
That's right. That's right. Man. Maybe in the fourth segment, we'll sing the Norwegian national anthem or something like that. No. Never mind.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. We'll share a round of lutefisk. Is that what you said, David? Nice. Yuck.
We've got a little plate of it out here. Oh. Have some, Reba. It's delicious.
Pass, thanks.
No way, huh?
I'd rather eat something that I see on Game of Thrones or something.
So Mike Olden with American Reporting Company. Some people have this misconception about joint credit. So let's talk a little bit about, a person's single, they've got fantastic credit, then they get married, and their spouse, maybe not so good.
Gosh, yeah. I've never heard of that.
Right, right. Let's talk about how that relationship is. I think there's a misconception that if I marry someone with bad credit, I'm marrying the bad credit as well.
Exactly. And each of us as a consumer has our own individual file. Now, in your industry, Eric, where somebody's applying for a mortgage jointly, I believe you're going to take the lower of the two FICO, the lower of the two mid FICO scores, correct?
That's right. We're going to have three scores for each person, and whichever one falls in the middle, we're going to use the lower middle score
right.
for however many number of borrowers are on the,
so,
on the line.
So in that case, from an underwriting perspective, they're theoretically sharing their spouse's bad credit, but on their individual credit file, those don't merge. So we can feel confident that we're not automatically adopting somebody else's poor credit. Contrast that to if you apply for a new account jointly,
right,
and there's negative items, then yes, you do both share those negative items.
That's right. That's right. And many, many times if we're working on a mortgage, we might just put one spouse on the loan for that very reason,
right,
in which case we're just running that one credit report.
Exactly. And then to take it a step further, if those individuals unfortunately go through the divorce procedure, divorce decree does not exonerate you from responsibility on joint credit. If you open the account jointly, you're both jointly responsible, even if somebody were to quit claim ownership on title.
Yeah, we see that for sure.
They're
on mortgages.
Still on the loan.
I will say
they're still responsible.
I've frequently seen folks, though, that in their divorce decrees, it talks about who's responsible for what. And I think people just assume that naturally somehow goes out somewhere, that creditors see that and actually care, but they kind of don't.
Yeah, they don't. And you can take that decree and stand on the steps of the courthouse and wave it, and the court's going to back up the creditor. And we've talked to a number of creditors, and they say the divorce decree is a civil agreement between the two former spouses,
right,
not the two of them and us.
Correct. Correct.
And that's the key element.
And
there,
the timing is important too, because that account was opened before the divorce. And a deal's a
correct
deal. So if it was open to two people, well, then those two people are on. And we see that with mortgages as well. Hey, I got divorced. You got to remove my name from the mortgage. And as a lender, we're like, well, no, we really can't do that without paying off that loan, without refinancing.
Yeah,
exactly.
And the only exception to that would be in the case of a death, in which case then we of course can remove a name.
Right.
So, yeah, interesting. And what about authorized user accounts? There used to be a trick in lending that if someone didn't have, a good credit score, a well-established credit score, someone with good credit could add them as an authorized user, and that would actually immediately boost their score.
It can. We've certainly seen that before, where an authorized users is typically where the primary cardholder, And this is for unsecured debt. It's not for mortgages or auto loans. But for unsecured debt, the primary cardholder, and historically it's been mom or dad or an older sibling, added their young adult child just out of high school or college onto the account to help them establish a credit history.
Sure.
And we still see that, and it can boost their their credit score or even generate a new score.
Very, very well. I don't know if you recall that wonderful Puerto Rican couple that we worked with last fall.
Sure.
The man of the couple, his mother, I remember when he had his first meeting with me, he said, "Now I need to explain something to you." And I'm like, "Okay." And he goes, "When they look at my credit, they may wonder because this credit account has been open since before I was born." And I just started laughing. I was like, "Oh, your mom added you?" And he goes, "Yes." So they may be confused. I went, "We just need to explain it. It's fine."
Exactly. And that's why in some underwriting circumstances, those accounts aren't counted
by
an underwriter or an investor.
Yeah.
So it's always good. It's always good to ask the underwriter or the investor, will you accept those scores?
Perfect. I'm glad you bring that up because, yeah, that is something that is excluded when we're actually doing our loan approvals, at least for a mortgage, for a mortgage transaction. One other thing our customers often get confused about or maybe make the wrong decision on is, let's say I've got an account and it's been open for years and years and years, but I'm just really not using it all that much. Should I close that account?
And that question does come up a lot. And if you go to FICO's consumer website, myfico.com or scoreinfo.org, which are their two primary education sites, they will typically recommend don't close accounts.
Right.
And there's a couple of reasons. One, you could be affecting the overall length of credit history. And two, you could be affecting the overall proportion of balance to credit limit.
Right.
Yes.
Those two could lower the score. Again, how much or if at all depends on the overall file. But when I join your colleagues at first-time homebuyer classes, I will usually recommend to the students, don't close accounts until that transaction is closed. So when you start working with a realtor and a lender, don't close accounts. Don't apply for new credit, especially unsecured credit.
Right.
Yep.
Don't jump up your balances considerably, barring emergency.
Don't start buying those sofas.
Yeah, exactly.
Until after you've closed.
That's right.
So that is something that we want consumers to avoid doing. Now, there may be other reasons outside of the mortgage transaction where they do want to close an account. They may find a better interest rate. They may like to get reward points or mileage. They may not use the account any longer. So there's any number of reasons why they might want to close the account. But once they start working with a realtor and a lender, they should avoid closing those accounts. Because, Eric, I believe as a lender, there are occasions where you need to re-pull credit prior to closing.
It happens, sure. Yeah. There's lots of circumstances where that might come up.
And especially in new construction when it's a really long time before from start to finish. Like we have a few of those where the Luma condo building, it's been going up for quite some time and they're just starting to finish the top floor. Finishes are on the first initial floors right now, so they're not going to be done till June or August.
That's right.
And some of those folks have been under contract since last summer.
Absolutely, and we will run their credit initially to pre-approve them for financing, to prove to the seller that they're good qualified buyers. But then we will have to update things. Our credit report, from a lender standpoint, has a sell-by date. You know, it's stale after 120 days. You know, we have to update that.
And it could start smelling funky.
Well, hopefully not, but absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know. It depends on what they're doing.
I have to blow the dust off of it. It's too old. You know, they don't age like a fine wine.
It's like bananas.
It's like bananas.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes, precisely. That's a good analogy.
Perfect. Hey, Mike,
don't mash your bananas. They bruise easily. So that, you know what? That actually is a perfect analogy on credit.
Yeah.
Because you can bruise them easily. If you manhandle it, you got to be careful with it. You got to be gentle with it.
Yeah. There you go. All right. And they're loaded with potassium, which is great. So, Mike, I don't know what that had to do with anything, but
I don't know. It well, certainly doesn't have anything to do with follicle.
It's a Norwegian joke.
Generation.
How's that?
Okay.
So, Mike, there's also a fair amount of misinformation out there about inquiries. And
right. Oh gosh,
so
yes.
Let's talk about
all
that a little bit. Which ones hurt you? Which ones don't hurt you quite as much?
There's two primary groups of inquiries. There are hard hits and soft hits. Hard mm-hmm. hits is when someone comes to you, Eric, applying for credit, or when they apply for a Visa or MasterCard or student loan.
Sure.
Those are hard hits. It's a consumer-initiated request for the extension of credit. Then there are soft hits. That's when mm-hmm. we, as consumers, look at our own credit report.
Mm-hmm.
When an existing business relationship reviews our credit, they may review it periodically.
Who does that?
Typically, the creditors that we have a relationship with, if you...
Like credit card companies?
Like
if they credit
were card
gonna
companies.
Give you additional...
If you read your annual privacy notice, there's mm-hmm. typically some fine print in there that says, we reserve the right to periodically review your credit. If they do that, that's typically going to be a soft hit. When you apply to rent an apartment, employment, insurance, those mm-hmm. are all typically sure. soft inquiries. They don't affect our score. The hard hits may affect our score when we're applying for credit, but on average, on FICO scores, if they do affect the score, it's typically less than 5 points.
Okay, so if there's one of those companies, because there's tons of credit card offers in the mail.
Right.
Do those do anything?
No, those are promotional inquiries only. The only time those may affect your score is, Reba, if you sign it and send it in.
Okay.
Then it may affect the score because now you have an inquiry for new unsecured debt.
Got it.
And really, it doesn't matter if it's secured or unsecured. It's new mm-hmm. credit you're applying for.
Right.
And there you can eliminate those mm-hmm. those offers that come in the mail or over the phone.
How do you do that?
You go to www.optoutprescreen.com. And you register.
Write that sucker down.
And you okay. don't get those offers in the mail. There's a few exceptions. Companies that you're currently doing business with can okay. still solicit you, but you could call them directly.
That's great.
And then certain nonprofits right. could still ask you for donation money.
Okay. Well, we're going to be back here in just a short moment at Open House with Team Reba. Join us to finish the conversation with Mike Olden at American Reporting Company.
Open House has open phone lines. Give us a call at 866-712-1300.